We're looking at the living word, and what we're examining in the living word is God's word in us, where that we are the word of God, and that word of God is living, and that word lives out through us. And it's important for us to take the word of God and not just read it, not just memorize it, but to live it out. Amen? Now, we're going to be doing a series on the Word of God. We're going to examine the various aspects of it. God willing, we're going to look at the written Word next week. And so I want each one of you to be thinking about this Bible that we have in our possession, the written Word of God, the stability of God's Word. And I want to start today just to introduce to you some of the aspects of what's going on in our society, what's happening to us as we're exposed to world opinion. And so we want to look at those things from that standpoint. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. It's our desire to serve you. It's our desire to be able to respond to all that you have to offer. A lot of blood was shed in order for us to have these Bibles in our hands. A lot of people gave up their lives. A lot of people spent days and years working on and laboring on writing out these passages so that others could read them. We just thank you for the fact that we now have the technology that is capable of getting the Word of God in the hands of every person. And we just pray that you would help us to do our part in not only having the Word and disseminating the Word, but living the Word in our lives. Help us to accept that power that you have within your word to transform our lives and for us to be able to affect the lives of others and to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the world that influences the people around us rather than us being influenced by the world. We just ask that you would move in a powerful way this morning as you speak to our hearts and as you move in our lives to help us to be those people you have called us to be. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, we have popular world opinion. And we're going to look at the reason why we have that popular world opinion this morning in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Now, I know you're seeing that happen already around you. I know you're seeing a lot of world popular opinion trying to influence us in thinking that it's truth. That there are people who are considering themselves experts who are talking to you and telling you, this is the truth. This is our expert opinion, and this is what we expect you to believe because we've done a lot of research, and we now have come about to realize that this is the way it really is. And it's not the way God says it is. It's not the way the Bible says it is. It's the way we say it is. And what the Bible is saying to us is that this is a departure from truth. That this is a departure from reality. And that we, even though we are people who love being around other people who agree with us, that we are going to have to stand for truth. That it becomes our responsibility to understand that we are the mainstay of our society. We are the light that shines, that opens and reveals to other people how life really is. That people can't resist these popular opinions. People are unable to bring themselves around to standing up against those things that everybody else believes. It becomes our responsibility to understand that the truth that is resident in our hearts is what set us free. It's the truth that is resident in our hearts that's making us glad. It's the truth that is resident in our hearts that is setting our families free. It's God's truth that's bringing all of those things of blessing and honor and glory to us and to God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. That means that people will look at what they know to be sound doctrine and won't put up with it because it is making them live a life they don't want to live. But it's not enough for them that they're making these decisions for themselves. It's vital to them that they influence you. It's vital to them that they control public opinion. They want to put you down. They want you to feel silly for what you believe in. And that social pressure that is coming against you has to be resisted through prayer. For that each one of us come to God and we say to God, God, help me to resist world opinion. I was watching a television program as this lady was saying that her mother taught her that you can boil a frog by putting it in cold water and then just turning the heat up gently. And it just keep turning it up and turning it up and turning it up until finally the frog, lacking the ability to tell those slight changes in temperature, will ultimately be boiled. And what we don't realize is that is what Satan is trying to do to this world. That he's trying to take the people of this world and just keep on turning it up and turning it up to world opinion and to the filthiness of his desires. And he just keeps turning up a little bit by little bit by little bit. To where that there are certain programs that are offensive to us. There are certain things that we watch that are offensive to us. But just give us 10 years and they will be normalcy. Those things that the church fought 10 years ago are now being played on family television. Those things that the church was upset about 10 years ago are now those nice programs that we want everybody to see because they are not the filth that's being shown today. Just keep turning it up and turning it up and turning it up until finally we're boiled. Who's going to stop that? You are. Who's going to resist that? You are. That's the reason why God's moving in a mighty way in our church. That's the reason why he's blessing us. That's the reason why he's pouring out his Spirit on us. That's the reason why we are constantly talking about the greatness of God. Is because of the fact that God is building inside of us a resistance to the opinions of this world. And that we have freedom of choice. We have the right to choose. We have the right to decide. We have the right to make up our own minds and say no. I am not going in that direction. That God has given us freedom. God has given us the power. God has given us the ability to say no to the things of this world. Why? Because God has enlightened our minds. God has transformed our lives. We have been born again, and old things have passed away, and all things have become new, and now we see the truth. We are not children of darkness wandering around wondering what's going on in our world. We can see clearly. We are sighted people. We have spiritual insight. And we can look at the things of this world and we can identify them immediately and say, no. This is not what I'm interested in. This is not what I want to be a part of. And this is not what I want my family to be a part of. Amen? Now I know that we all have heard of sports psychology. We have taught our children that self-esteem is what they have to have in order to be successful. We've taught our children that what they have to do is they have to believe in themselves. And we have turned their faith inward toward themselves. And we have caused them to see that the only way they can really win in sports is to have self-confidence. To have that esteem of their own, where that they decide for themselves, I am going to be great. And it all looks good and it all sounds good. But the problem is that as that person starts to turn inward, they cease to be able to be teachable. The Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now we would never teach our little league team being poor in spirit. We don't want them to be poor in spirit. We want them to go out there and attack the other team. And you can't attack the other team if you're poor in spirit, can you? But poor in spirit means that I become teachable. Poor in spirit means that the coach knows what they're talking about. Poor in spirit means that the parents know what they're talking about when they say, no, I'm not going to let you go there. Poor in spirit means that people honor other people's needs. To where that the narcissism of our society has come from those things that have turned the eyes of our generation on themselves. And after we get through building the person's self-esteem and building and building and building their self-centeredness, then we turn on them as a society and say, oh, they're narcissistic now. All they care about is themselves. Well, yes, of course they do. That's what we taught them to do. Whereas the Bible teaches us to love our neighbor as ourself, instead to suit their own desires. Joshua 24:15 says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you. You see, the battle that's going on in the lives of people is desire. And what's going on in our hearts and lives is that God has been building in this church a desire for God, a desire for truth, a desire for honesty and integrity. And the people of this church are building inside of themselves, are seeing inside of themselves be built, a transition that is taking place that is helping them to see things from the perspective of God. And you've got a leader here in Joshua saying, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And then he says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Do you see that as being different than popular opinion? Do you see that as standing up against those people who are seemingly in charge of what we should say and what we believe? Can you see this person standing up and saying, it doesn't matter what the rest of the crowd does. It doesn't matter what everybody else is going to do. You make your own decisions as to how you're going to live your life. But I can tell you one thing. As for me and my household, we're serving God. Praise God. And that is the place where we exercise freedom of choice, to where that we say, no, that's not the direction we're going. You can go wherever you want to, but I'm going this way. And we take us and our family and we start heading out to serve God. And that's why God put Joshua in charge of the entire nation of Israel. Is because as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I know you may not feel that significant. You may not feel like you fit into the same category as Joshua. But the fact is, you do. The move of the Holy Spirit that has taken place in your life, the power of God that has entered into your heart and made your body a temple of the Holy Spirit, is the same experience that the high priest had when they went to serve in the temple in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would enter into those people and they would serve as leaders. And what God's plan was to put into the hearts of men and women all over the world this leadership position and power of the Holy Spirit, to anoint them like he anointed David to be king, like he anointed Joshua to be leader. That anointing that comes on your heart and life by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit helps you to stand up in the midst of them who are seeking their own desire and minister to their lives and say, this is the truth. Walk in it. Now ask yourself three questions. Do you really honestly believe that Bible principles work? Got one person who believes that. Got another one over here. Do you really believe? Do you believe that this is the answer for your life? Do you believe that the Bible works for you? Now, the big one. Do you believe that your success in the Bible will inspire others to put their trust in God's Word? That is being the light of the world. That is the place where we become the salt in the soup. This is the place where the world's not influencing us. This is the place where we are influencing the world. This is the place where people of all different walks of life look to you. Now, let me just look at some of these things that people are doing around you. Let's just examine a person that is a multimillionaire or maybe a multibillionaire. David was bothered by these people who were wicked that were having what we would call success in life. Okay? He was saying to God, God, why do the wicked prosper? And I'm sure that from time to time you look at some of these successful people and you think, well, they don't need God. Look at they're succeeding without God. Are they? What are they looking for when they buy a brand new mansion? Happiness. Why do they buy yet another car? Why do they try to make one more movie? Why do they get one more spouse? Why are they constantly going out trying to win one more race? Because it doesn't continue to satisfy. It brings momentary pleasure. It brings that moment of time when the person feels successful, when they feel happy, when they feel peaceful, when they finally feel like they have achieved something. But then in a few days, they find themselves needing another one. Why? Because they are seeking happiness. They are seeking contentment. They are seeking hope for their lives. And as they seek and buy and purchase and change their lives, they keep on seeking and not finding. In other words, they're not successful. According to the world's standards, according to the world's standards, you are successful. Because they're all looking for what you have. They're all looking in the wrong places. They're all trying the wrong things. But they're all looking for peace. They're all looking for contentment. They're all looking for that nagging pain in their heart, in their life, to go away. And you sit with something greater than happiness. You sit with joy in your heart that the whole world is seeking for and can't find. And so they buy another one of this, and they change to another person of that, and they continue to move throughout their lives trying to find those things that would bring understanding and would bring meaning and bring purpose to their life, and they can't find it. And by the very nature of the tone of your conversation, by the very nature of the twinkle in your eye, by the very nature of the peace that is around you, they covet what you have. Do you believe that your successes will inspire others to put their trust in God's Word? You see, sometimes we think that public opinion should influence us to be a little quiet about who we are in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we feel like that because everybody else is saying everything else, that we ought to be a little bit subdued about the way we believe. But the truth is the reason why people want to come to the church you're going to is because of the life transformation that's taking place inside of you. Because you have what they're looking for. And Satan doesn't want anyone to know that you have what they're looking for. Satan wants you to hide your light under a bushel. Satan wants you to quiet your life before them. Satan doesn't want you to feel confident in those things that God has done for you. He doesn't want you to believe in God's word and his transforming power, that it would be meaningful to the situations of this world. The problem with popular philosophies, and the reason that they don't work, is because they have side effects. Once a person starts to involve themselves in the cares of this world, they become addicted. Once a person gets to a place to where that they feel like they have finally reached some place of continuity in their lives, they become a slave to whatever it is that they have involved themselves in. Now, have you ever walked past your Bible and there just was this irresistible urge to grab it and read it? Did you know that the drug addict walks by drugs and has their body shakes from that intense desire to do something that they're trying to quit? That the alcoholic looks at these things that they're involved in and is tearing up their lives, is tearing up their jobs, is tearing up their families, and they can't quit? Did you know that there are people who would like to stop making the house payment that they have purchased? But they're a slave to work day in and day out, making a house payment that's way over their heads, but they spent more than they could afford. And now they've got job after job after job trying to make the payments. Do they want to be slaves to alcohol? Do they want to be slaves to drugs? Do they want to be slaves to finances? Do they want to be slaves to those things that they now have? No. But it has side effects. How did it all happen? They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. How many of you know that we should not just hear what we want to hear, that we should hear what we need to hear? Amen? God, help me to desire your truth even when it hurts. Amen? Why? Because we need to hear certain things, don't we? We need to be sobered up. We need to be told, hey, you're heading in a wrong direction. These things are going to enslave you. These things are going to take over your life. Oh, I'll try anything once. Well, some things you can only try once. And after that, you're addicted to them. Once that door is open, can you close it? Frequently, no, you can't. Is that what we want? God, tell me your truth, even if it hurts. Why? Because there are side effects that are going to affect me for the rest of my life. The thing about the Bible is that it always works. The Bible says in John 6:63, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. Now you know what it is that we are going after, don't you? Worldly pleasure has to do with our bodies. I just want to make my body happy. I just want to have that new car so that I can ride around and everybody look at me and say, whoa! And I just want to feel good about myself. I just want people to respect me. I want them to admire me. I want them to wish they were me. And a lot of people do. A lot of people look at people who they think are successful and they wish they were them, only to find that there's this hole in their life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. How many of you want worldly cares or you want life? What's the vote? How many of you want your neighbor to have life? How many of you believe that the Word of God has made a big difference in your heart and life? How many of you are happy for what God has done for you? And is that excitement something that will spill over into the lives of the people around you because you are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation? Amen. And it's at that point that world opinion is broken loose from our lives. The chains fall off of our hands. The chains fall off of our mouths. The chains fall off of our lives. And all of a sudden we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God to save people's lives. Hallelujah. Amen. And we become a bold church. We become a living word of God that walks out as ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Because we're ambassadors of Christ. We're representatives of who Jesus is and what he does in the lives of people. And I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I am thrilled about the fact that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I'm a Christian, because it is the truth, and it always works. John 15:7 says, "If you will remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you." You've got all of the world clamoring and hurrying and scrambling, trying to get their needs met. Doing all kinds of things, using all kinds of exercises in their life, trying to bring themselves to a place where that they can go somewhere and be happy. Do you know what happens when you come to a party? You bring happiness with you. You are fun. You don't go there to have fun. You go there as being the life of that party, because you are fun. Because of what Jesus Christ has done in your life, you are thrilled with life. You're not going there to drown your troubles. You're going there to exercise your freedom in Christ Jesus. What the world is looking for, what they are putting all of their life's efforts into, you sit here this morning with. You have found the truth, and it always works. So what do we want? Do we want truth that frees us? Or do we want myths that sound good? Now, they sound good. The world things sound good. When you listen to them, they just sound right. It seems like this should be the way it works. But the Bible's the truth. The Bible says they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Does that make any sense to you? That doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you sell out the truth for a myth? That's kind of stupid, don't you think? That's pretty dumb. Why would we be that dumb? Or why would we admire someone that dumb? Why are we impressed with the world? Why are we impressed with world opinion? Why are we finding ourselves quiet about who we are in Christ Jesus? Do you have anything to be ashamed of? Do you have anything that you should be intimidated by? Do you know who you are in Christ Jesus? You're not living a fable. You're not living a myth. You're living the truth of God's word. What we're talking about this morning is getting healed by God from being impressed with the world. We shouldn't just have a good time in church where we can feel free to live the Christian life. We should be able to enjoy the Christian life all week long, everywhere we are. Amen. We should walk with the thrill of Christ in our hearts. We should be able to go through life and people say, well, I'm running into such and such a problem. And we should feel confident to be able to share with them, this is the thing that has helped me. And not feel like, well, I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified to advise them. I'm not qualified to tell them how they ought to live their lives. I'm not qualified to disagree with their approach to life. And you just feel unqualified. Do you realize you're the living Word of God? Do you realize that the Word of God is being lived out through your life? Do you realize that you're a product of the Almighty? Do you realize you're the handicraft of Christ? Do you realize that He has made you? That He has designed you? Do you realize that? And it becomes important for us today to realize that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And to live that life of freedom, isn't it? And we just want to be set free as a church. To be set free from world opinion. To be set free from intimidation by the world. To be